Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So Thanksgiving is going to be not comfortable or comfortable for you?
Well, I think that I think it'll be what it's always been. I work with all kinds of people. I work with gay people. I work with African Americans. I work with Hispanics. I don't have any problem with any of those people, Phil. But this Thanksgiving, my wife Jennifer, who you have met many times,
and we love her.
Thank you, and she's very fond of your family. She's invited over two men she works with who are new to the area, and they have no family. They relocated from, I think it was Houston. And that's all fine, but along with the fact that they are not family, which I don't mind, but they are gay, two gay men, and apparently, according to my wife, they've been married. I've been told by my wife that I have to respect the relationship. I've been told by my wife not to act shocked if they kiss. In addition to that, you know, my son, Jeffrey is African American, my son-in-law, Jeffrey's African American. And all I'm trying to say to you is, why can't we preserve...
Well, look, I mean, Thanksgiving is a time for everybody to enjoy.
No, but you don't understand. Why can't we preserve Thanksgiving as the only holiday that was really intended for straight white people? I mean, we welcome all Americans. And every other holiday, Christmas and Easter.
Well, why do you say Thanksgiving is the only holiday for white people?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you what. I'm not a racist. I believe in the American dream for all people. But what's wrong with us taking a break from these people to be heterosexual white people in America? I mean, you should have one day...
Why do you feel that Thanksgiving was intended to be a whites-only heterosexual day?
First of all, Phil, Thanksgiving has always been for white people. If you look back at 1620, when the Pilgrims arrived, they were white. They settled. They had Thanksgiving. They ate turkey, and all of this is undisputed.
What about the Indians?
Well, the Indians were not guests. The Indians came, got a turkey from the Pilgrims, and they left, and whatever they got, and that's it. Now, what's happened, because Thanksgiving is so popular, it's such an enjoyable holiday like everything else, everybody is supposed to be able to do it now. So what was once a white people's holiday, you're now supposed to have everybody over to your house. And this is how traditions chip away and fail. You allow people who don't understand the tradition to take part in it.
All right. I always understood, Art, Thanksgiving to be a holiday that all Americans were able to celebrate.
And that is a misnomer. That is not true.
Thanksgiving is not a holiday for all Americans.
No, it is not. It is a holiday for white people, heterosexual, traditional Americans. And as the result, Thanksgiving now, I'm supposed to have these gay guys, you know, over to my house, and I look across the table at my daughter with her black husband, and this guy generally wears some, you know, hat, and they'll have with them my grandson.
What do you say to people who say you're just a racist and you don't want to spend time with...
Well, I expect that. I mean, that's what simple minds say. But I can tell you right now, Phil, that there is no reason for any other people besides white Americans to celebrate Thanksgiving. Because if you look at the history of how people have been treated in this country, we are the only people who should really be giving thanks. And that's what I say to a lot of black people. I say, why do you want to celebrate Thanksgiving? What do you have to be thankful for? That's what I say to gay people. Why do you want to celebrate Thanksgiving? What do you have to be thankful for? And Mexicans, and all of them. And so I'm saying to them that on Thanksgiving, I think it would be perfectly fine if you just went ahead and went to work and don't bother yourself with the rest of this stuff. Why should you? And, you know, the football games, those are for white people. And heterosexual people.
Because the way you're talking, Art, it sounds like a guy who's a racist.
No, I would expect simple-minded people to say I'm a racist who don't understand what I'm saying.
All right, so if I understand you, Thanksgiving is a day that you don't want... Look, your wife invited two gay guys over that she works with, your black son-in-law, and it depresses you?
It's just that every year I look at the table and I think... You know, where are the white people? I mean, in other words, what you know, and my daughter marrying a black guy, I guess that's her reaction to something.
All right, now let me give our phone number out here on the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're not a racist.
No, sir, I am not.
You work with black folks. You don't. Do you mind your daughter being married to a black guy?
No, I do not.
Well, then, of course, your daughter is going to spend Thanksgiving with her family.
What I'm asking her, what I asked Carol, my wife, to talk to our daughter and say, on Thanksgiving Day, would it be so terrible if you left your black husband at home?
And but on Thanksgiving, we want to be with our family.
We are her family. My daughter.
Wait a minute. She's married to this guy.
But there's no reason. Why does she have Thanksgiving in her house? Her husband's black, and her son is part black, I guess, or part white, whatever you want to say. I haven't figured that one out myself. But so the only person in that home that's got anything to be thankful for is her. You see what I'm saying? This is not racist, Phil. This is actually a tip of the hat to Indians and gays and Mexicans and all of them. I'm saying, look, you have nothing really to be thankful for because you've been treated badly. That's number one. Number two, white people would just as soon have Thanksgiving to themselves and not have you, just hanging around or anything, but not have you there. So why don't we just agree on that day? White people will...
all right, white people will get the day off and watch football. And
well, it's not like there aren't other holidays. There's Christmas, there's Easter, there's the 4th of July. Phil, I'm not saying that black people or gays are not equal. I'm simply saying the holiday is not for them. Do I celebrate Kwanzaa? Do you celebrate Kwanzaa?
Oh, come on. Kwanzaa's an African-American invention of some kind.
Well, that's exactly what Thanksgiving is. It is a white person's holiday. And all I want to do is sit down and have turkey with some white people. Is there something wrong with that? Just for a change. Just for a change of pace. Not to have to sit down and...
And how does this make your son-in-law feel? How does this make your grandson feel, who is part black? How do they feel when you say, look, I just want to sit with white people? How do they feel about that?
It's nothing against them.
Well, what does that make them feel like when you say, I really would rather not have you here because...
Phil, I'm not trying to make them feel bad. Look, would my son-in-law hesitate to ask me not to go to a Black Panthers meeting or something like that? It's not that he doesn't want me there or doesn't love me. He just knows that a Black Panthers meeting is for black guys. I'm not going to feel offended by that.
So Thanksgiving now is an exclusive white club.
Well, it always has been, and I think it's been very wrong of people to make it any other way. I really do. And all I'm trying to say to all of our black friends and citizens, on Thanksgiving Day, why not go ahead and go on into work, and you can get some work out of the way. And I would think a lot of them would think it would be good, to do it because there's not a lot of nosy white bosses running around. And
the assumption being that all the bosses are white.
See, you're trying to make this racist. And
well, you just said, why don't you go on into work on Thanksgiving? There won't be a lot of nosy white bosses hanging around.
All right, there won't be a lot of nosy white employees hanging around.
And so Thanksgiving can be kind of a black guy's work day.
Well, you don't understand really what I'm talking about.
I'm trying to understand.
No, but you're making everything as a joke. When the black and the gay get to a point where they can be actually thankful for something in this country, then why don't we have them then? But right now...
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Sean, you're on with Art Griego on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hi there. How are you?
Fine.
I like Americans especially. When you have immigrants that come to your country, don't you want them to adapt?
Wait a minute.
Hold on, listen.
Do you have Thanksgiving?
Do you have Thanksgiving? We all heard you talk. It's my turn to talk. I called. Okay? So just be quiet.
Do you have Thanksgiving?
Will you be quiet, Mr. Griego, and let the man talk?
Yeah.
Listen, but he's a Canadian, and they don't have Thanksgiving up there.
Yes, they do.
It's a whole different day.
You're so ignorant.
They have Thanksgiving in October. Okay,
that's
they
right.
don't have
You're
it.
So
in...
ignorant.
Okay,
you
it's not
shut
the,
up.
It's not the same thing, and they don't do it for the same reason. They do it to be thankful that they're not Americans.
Let someone else talk other than your big red big mouth going. Okay,
I don't let any Canadian tell me to shut up.
Will you just let the man talk?
Well, you know what? Let me talk. First of all, you expect people or immigrants or blacks or gays, whatever, they come to your country, they want to adapt your culture. And Thanksgiving is part of that culture. So like it or not, you know what? It's not a white man thing. You know, get off this white man crap.
Are you black?
I'm a white person. I'm not black. I'm as white as you probably.
Okay,
but
Canadians.
You know what? I'm very insulted because you as a white person are making all us white people look like idiots, which you are.
First,
you are uneducated.
May I say something now, Mr. Henry?
Stupid person.
Go ahead.
First of all, Canadians have Thanksgiving on a whole other day so they can give thanks that they're next door to America. Number one.
No, I don't think
so,
buddy.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. That's why.
You know what?
Number
you got
two.
Your head
hold
so far
on.
Up
let,
your ass,
let
you can't even breathe.
Oh, tell me you're not thankful that you live next door to America. Go ahead, say it.
Right. Okay. You know what? You don't even know history.
I bet
then.
You wish you were next door to China. Is that it?
No, yeah, that's
yeah.
right. You know
you
what?
Those...
You're so smart. You're so smart, it's
all
not
right.
even funny.
Can we say this, gentlemen? That Mr. Griego, you talking about the white people only holiday, you're essentially knocking America in a way.
I am. I'm saying it's not a place for black people to be thankful
okay, so
for.
Then,
and it's not a place
so then,
for gay people to be thankful for. When we start treating those people better, then maybe they can...
Well, why don't we start treating them better now and let them be
how do you
Thanksgiving?
Treat them better? How do you treat them better if you don't even allow them to have Thanksgiving with you?
Because I just want to sit around with... I'll say this, though, Sean. I'd rather have the darkest, blackest native in Africa sitting at my table than you.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
What? You know what?
That's right.
And idiots like you, we don't even let in Canada. Let's put it this way. And idiots like you, we don't even let in Canada because you know what? There's an actually IQ before you come to Canada.
You're
you
right.
Don't even pass that.
You're right. You're right. You elect them prime minister instead.
That's right. Oh, those shots.
Gotcha.
Wow,
all right.
That's
okay.
That's why George Bush is really liked everywhere.
Well,
right?
How come Gretchen's got that crooked mouth?
Hey, you know what? He's got a mental health problem.
Yeah.
I can't say anything.
No kidding.
Especially, let me tell you something. Your
Mary
is
Lincoln.
Just as mental.
Yeah.
So don't. You know what?
Okay.
That's a different story.
You get on your hands and knees for.
You should be ashamed.
You get on your hands and knees for some of that Texas barbecue. Give me a break.
Oh, all
yeah,
right. Okay.
No, you know
listen.
What? You know how you should know that about the hands and knees because you have a gay guy behind you, right?
Huh?
A gay guy pushing you from the back. That's what you know about the hands and knees.
Are you you're telling me I'm a catcher? Is that it?
Hey, buddy, you know
trying
what?
To tell when me I'm a catcher?
Listen. When it fits, you know what? When a shoe fits, might as well put it up.
Yeah, well, when the penis fits, you might...
All right!
Yeah, all right,
all right,
buddy,
Sean,
listen.
Thank you. I gotta go. Good Lord. 1-800-449-8686. Is Thanksgiving truly just a white person's only holiday? After all, why would African Americans and gay people celebrate Thanksgiving... This country hasn't been particularly good to them. What have they got to be thankful for? So why not do what Art Griego would like to do? Keep it just for white people. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. On the peripheral edge of reality. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You mentioned, Art, that on Thanksgiving, people should, black people, gay people, Hispanics, should go about their business as if it's a regular day. Don't even watch the football game.
Well, all of this celebration of Thanksgiving is primarily for Caucasian white people. And it's really humorous to me. I'm sitting here laughing with my wife, Terry is here. And she says, well, how's it going on the show? And I said, well, the people that I'm talking to are not particularly intelligent. Most of them are Canadians, so what would they know about American Thanksgiving? That's number one. And number two, what would they know about black people? And number three, what would they know about, you know, gays or Indians or anything? And they're trying to tell me about my holiday. my holiday, American Thanksgiving. See, not Canadian Thanksgiving.
Well, you said Canadian Thanksgiving is for people who are thankful that they're next door to America?
Exactly. I mean, that's the reason Canadians have Thanksgiving is to give thanks to Jesus Christ that they wake up every morning next to one big, bad man. And all they got to do is put out every now and again, like every good woman.
All right, now see that now you're getting insulting, and now you're
well, they're treating me insulting.
No, now you're getting insulting, and now that's where we draw the line. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. I'm going to go over here to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. How are you?
Good, ma'am.
I just have a comment for the gentleman that you have on the phone right now.
Yes, Mr. Griego.
This is yeah. Griego. Yes.
I am biracial. Which means that I am half black and half white. Okay?
Well, that means black.
I'm also mixed with other nationalities. If you are in America, you are American, which means that Thanksgiving is for anybody. It means you're giving thanks
for
that day.
For what?
Not thanks because you're white.
Wait a minute.
Because being white does not make you special.
What is
it does
no?
not make you any better than anybody else.
I didn't say it
doesn't mean that you should have a day.
What have you got to be thankful for?
I have a lot to be thankful for. First of all, I get up every morning and I breathe. Okay?
Big deal.
That's one thing to be thankful for.
Big deal. You need a day for that to celebrate that? I'm talking about.
I get that every day. I don't need a day for that. I get that every
right.
day.
Right. So what do you need Thanksgiving for?
Let me tell you. You are what's called a hidden racist. Okay?
Oh,
you
brother. See, I knew it had come down to that.
You use excuses to hide your racism. All and right. if I was your daughter, I wouldn't even want to have Thanksgiving with you.
Well, my wife says grace.
I wouldn't celebrate nothing because
right,
you're not worth it.
All right, now hold on. All right, your daughter, your son-in-law is black.
Well, look, what I'm trying to say and what this lady I don't think heard, if you're black in America, what have you got to be thankful for, right? Now, if you want to be thankful that you breathe, you can do that every day, as the lady indicated. I'm not a racist. I'm just saying Thanksgiving's basically for white people.
It's
Christmas
not for
is for
white
black
people.
People
I don't
and
see
Easter...
anywhere in any history book that says Thanksgiving is dedicated to white people.
Well, you know it is.
It's
you know
called
that it
Thanksgiving.
Is.
It's not thankful for white people.
Can I ask you something?
It's called Thanksgiving, period.
Can I ask you one thing? Can I ask you one thing?
Sure.
All right. Can't white people have one day where we don't have you people around?
Let me tell you something. White people had about 100 years of one day when you're upset of being enslaved black folks.
How
white
come?
People had a whole bunch of times.
Why do
y'all
I got to
sit and enslaved Jews? Y'all had your day a long time ago.
Well, how come I got to sit down and break bread with you people? All I want to.
Well, see, now there you go.
You people.
Why do you think no one eats dark meat?
You're not racist.
Wait a
that
second.
That's not the most racist comment
absolutely.
I have ever heard.
No, I'm
you
trying
people.
To see. See, you won't let me say what I'm trying to say. Can
that's
I have.
What
I'm saying
is. It's stupid.
Can I just have one day where it's just white
you
people?
You need one day. You had your
see, that's what I'm saying. You guys want to butt in on everything.
For your one day.
Ma'am.
For your one of many days.
See, the lady is making a point, and the point is that the white man had dominance, and...
Well, wait a minute. I got... Back in 1955, we opened up a place called Disneyland. It took 2 weeks before the first black guy came in. What?
If you didn't want to have Thanksgiving, right?
Who's that?
If you don't want to have Thanksgiving with a...
You guys can't...
Why did you bring our asses over from Africa?
We did bring you over from Africa to serve us Thanksgiving dinner, not to sit down and eat it with us.
Wait a minute. Wait
to
a second.
Thanksgiving?
Yes, of course.
You want that black food, don't you?
Lady, right. You got 364 other days to pretend you're equal, not Thanksgiving.
There's a riot. Are you okay, Lisa?
I am not.
I'm hearing people. There's people that are...
So
all right, hold on. Art?
I'm so disgusted.
Oh, no, hold on. I want to talk to Art. Art, you said you're not a racist.
I'm not a racist. Why can't I just have one day where I can sit with other whites and talk about things we understand?
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Back with Art Griego. You wrote something that I thought was very, you know, I know, I right, look, I know you. I know you not to be a racist, but you do try to hit a nerve. When you wrote that African Americans and gay people are hypocrites on Thanksgiving, what do you mean by that?
Oh, well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, Phil. Black people and gay people being thankful on Thanksgiving? Who are you kidding? I mean, they spend the other 364 days bitching about this country, and now all of a sudden they're thankful they live here? See, that's the part. That's where I see. That's when I said to my wife Terry, I said, "Aha! I've got another article for the National Review. It's about the hypocrisy of many of our minorities who spend 364 days lifting their leg to the American flag, only to on Thanksgiving say, oh, and thanks for letting us live here." You know, I mean, the last 35 minutes I've been hearing from Canadians, could you imagine what it must be like for Indians and black people up there? So, you know, it's
probably better, isn't it?
I don't know, but I mean, it's nowhere around here is any good. You could go up and celebrate their Thanksgiving, and you'd look like an idiot.
All right, 1-800, and you also said Canadian Thanksgiving is for Canadians to be thankful that they live next door to,
that they're basically in bed with a big, good-looking guy.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Real twisted, man. Real twisted.
No, I don't think so.
Well, the way you're putting it. Calvin, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on,
yes,
man?
Sir, you're on the air.
Well, I'm just calling to talk to this guy. I'm on the highway right now. I'm listening to your show. And I just want to, you know, express myself from your comments and let you know that you know, I'm thankful for you know, being with my family. You know what I'm saying? I live in Florida and Fort Lauderdale, and I'm on the way to North Carolina with my white Swedish girlfriend who's with me right now. We've been together for a while, and we're going to see my family, and I've been to her country in Sweden to see her family.
Oh, yeah?
And I was accepted and stuff like that. But you know,
do they have Thanksgiving in Sweden?
Well, I haven't been in Thanksgiving. I went Christmas. But the thing of it is, we don't have to be hypocrites, man. You know, black folks don't have to
be
hypocrites.
Well, but you know what I'm saying, Calvin.
Watch your language, Calvin.
Okay. Calvin, you got to understand, white people don't like that word.
Will you please just don't put it into racial terms? Go ahead, Calvin.
All right. See, we just, you know, just don't call us hypocrites, man, because everybody's a hypocrite.
All I'm saying is this. Why do you want to celebrate Thanksgiving on a day when white people want to do that day?
Everybody want to do it.
Well, but every other day gets to have it. You know, like for instance, Kwanzaa. That's the black day.
Yeah, it's
right?
What's the black thing?
The Kwanzaa day. That's the black
man. It ain't my thing. I ain't with that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're supposed to.
Not really. That's what you saying. I don't represent Kwanzaa.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
When you go to Sweden and you start skiing, don't people say, "Jesus, what is that? A huge meatball on the slopes?" Right? It doesn't make any sense. And
now, what are you talking about?
They said what? Wait. When I go to Sweden, what?
Do you ski in Sweden?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, what about the month of?
I go to shop in Sweden. I go to shop and enjoy myself with my family, my girlfriend's family.
When you go to the month of February, what's that day? That's the Black Month Day, right? Black Pride Day. There you go.
Yeah, you can say that, yeah.
All right, so only one lousy day white people want, and everybody wants to butt in on that one.
But it ain't a white thing. It's a culture thing. It's for everybody. If you want to be thankful and thank God that you're living and you spend the time with your family, that's what it's all about. Everybody got their
you know, Calvin, you sound like a good guy. You sound like a decent man, an intelligent man. And I would welcome you in my home on Thanksgiving.
Now, that's more like it. That's more the spirit.
I would. This gentleman, I would. Some of these other dimwits I've been talking to.
Now, wait a minute. You know.
You know what I mean, Calvin?
Everybody just, you know, don't understand what, you know, you don't understand what how people live in there or how they, you know, celebrate.
All I know is
everybody got their own reasons. You know what I'm saying? But
well,
my reason is
when
this.
When the pilgrims got here, they ate dinner. The Indians showed up and wanted some, and they said, "Here, here's a turkey. Get out, get lost," is what they said.
Yeah, that's true. And, well, black folks do that too,
right.
You know. But the thing of it is, dude, you know, it's about spending time and being
thankful.
Hey, Calvin,
did your girlfriend show you how to hold a drumstick and everything, or?
Did she what?
No, nothing.
See,
never mind, Calvin. He's being
a
smartass. Yeah, he's.
Hey, now you're being ignorant because you ain't making no sense.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, Calvin, thank you very much and a happy Thanksgiving to you.
Tell that guy to have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right, you too.
And try to don't eat too much because I know your fat ass sitting on the chair right now.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Look at him calling you a fat ass. And if it wasn't for the white man, he would...
Yeah, he would have been a lot happier. Thank you very much,
hey, but
sir.
I am happy. That's
right.
The thing.
Thank
I'm
you,
very
sir.
Happy.
Yeah, that white
I'm
girlfriend.
I'm happy right now going on 95 North, dog. Remember that.
Hey,
I'm very happy.
With a Swedish girlfriend at the other end of that road? I'll bet
right,
you are.
My baby. Hey, she a good woman, I tell you that.
Good woman?
That's right. She a good woman going with her black male to see her black his black family. So, you know what? You racist, dude. You need to keep your comments to yourself.
Wait a second, racist. You know, my ex-girlfriend, you know who she was?
What?
She was the blonde from TLC.
Okay.
And
all right, never mind. That's fine. 1-800-449-8686. What are we doing, shtick now?
What this guy's talking about?
I don't even know how to hold the drumstick.
Phil, I have had to retreat to humor because nobody wants to listen to logic. The logic is this. The pilgrims showed up. They had a Thanksgiving. They were all white. There were any black people at the first Thanksgiving.
And what about the Indians?
The Indians came mooching around for some free food, and the pilgrims told them to get lost and gave them a turkey.
The Indians came mooching around?
Yeah.
Here's Rebecca. Rebecca, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I know. I have a comment of when he said...
Indians are more tan than black.
Okay, well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when that guy said black people should be thankful that they live here. I don't think people that...
No, they have nothing to be thankful for.
Let me talk.
They have nothing to be thankful for. So that's why you shouldn't be celebrating Thanksgiving. Please quote me properly.
Yeah, I have something to be celebrating. I am thankful for a lot of things. I'm half black and half white. And both my families celebrate Thanksgiving together without any arguments.
You're thankful you're half white?
No, I'm not. If people like you are going to act like, ask me if I'm thankful that I'm half white, it's because my mom made me. My mom does not act anything like you're acting right now. And they have nothing to be thankful. They have stuff to be thankful
right.
for, but you guys are the ones that brought them here. And if you guys are going to act like that, they're not going to be thankful towards you, but they're going to be thankful towards a lot of other things.
Like what?
Because a lot of things you use today are invented by black people.
Not
do you
toothpaste.
Use peanut butter?
Toothpaste
do you use
wasn't.
Peanut butter?
No, I don't.
Do you use an elevator? Do you
no.
use straws?
No.
Yes, you don't. Why?
No, ma'am, I never use elevators because I'm very much into cardiovascular exercise.
Why? Because you're kind of heavy and you need to get off the little weight or whatever?
Now we're going
to
get personal, huh? Just because black folks didn't invent anything useful.
What do you mean, anything useful?
Like what? Name one thing.
Okay. Have you ever had a blood transfusion?
No.
I just think you don't want to be thankful towards other black people.
Look, an African-American surgeon was the first open-heart surgeon. Blood transfusion. Plasma was developed by an African-American doctor. All kinds of things.
What do you mean, plasma?
The stuff they saved a lot of guys' lives with.
I know one thing African-Americans invented.
What?
The Afro. And I love that. What?
When you go somewhere, do you not see a lot of other people around you that are different from you? Or do you just
oh, yeah.
go up to every do you go up to every black person and say, why are you here? Are you thankful for
no,
you?
No, I never say, why are you here? I think black people are all great people. I'm just saying...
You think
like,
you should be here to serve your Thanksgiving dinner, don't
no,
you?
No, no. What I think is that black folks have Kwanzaa, white folks have Thanksgiving.
White people have Hanukkah? Have you ever thought about
no,
that?
Jewish people have Hanukkah.
And Jewish people are white.
No, a lot of them are black. Sammy Davis Jr., for instance.
How do you know there's not a white person that celebrates Kwanzaa?
And because black folks don't allow it.
How do you know they don't allow it?
I talked to a black guy and he said you're...
Black people celebrate Thanksgiving.
Is your mother black?
Huh? No, she's not. My father is.
Ask your father. They don't allow... Blacks haven't allowed white folks to celebrate Kwanzaa for 13 years now.
Do you celebrate Kwanzaa?
I tried to.
Are you around? No, you don't.
Yes, I did. I tried to last year, and a guy told me to stop.
Who told you to stop?
You're making it look worse because you're making fun of him.
No, ma'am.
What do you mean you were told to stop?
I put on a Kwanzaa hat, and a guy said take it off.
Because if you're going to talk like this, they don't want you celebrating their holiday. Black people do not act any certain way when they celebrate Thanksgiving. They act the same as you.
Who taught you how to pour gravy on your potatoes, your father or your mother?
Nobody, it's common sense how to put gravy on potatoes. What does that have to do with anything?
I bet you it was your mother, and if it was the white side of your family. That's the
no,
point.
No, it wasn't.
I
actually,
all right.
It was the black side of my... If you want to get technical,
oh, okay.
It was the black side of my family.
Because they know about...
Do you
all
think
right,
they're
look,
smart
Art,
or something? Do you think white people are smarter than black people?
Not in most things, no.
No, they're
all right,
not.
Okay, I'm through with this. A lot of this, you're just baiting this young lady.
I'm trying to make a point.
Yeah, you made your freaking point.
Hang up the phone if you don't want to be in it. Hang up the phone.
No, I'm just saying, Thanksgiving. Look, my son-in-law's coming over. He's black. Two gay guys are coming over. We got a Hispanic cook, and I have a Hispanic maid, and everybody
you
who
have
is...
a Hispanic maid.
What? Yeah.
How do you treat her?
It doesn't matter how I treat her, it's how I pay her. So everybody that's going to be coming over to my house is going to be very... All I'm saying is, one of these days, I'd like to sit in a room full of beaming white faces and just say, ah, white folks, and raise a glass.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Rebecca. You made some good points. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Okay? Don't worry about
you
it.
Too.
He's a goofball.
I know. I can tell.
Yeah. You know...
Oh, so you're dismissing me.
Yeah, I'm dismissing you. Thanksgiving's a white-only day.
Phil, if you think about it, it...
Number one, Thanksgiving was a day that the Pilgrims almost died on if it hadn't been for the Native Americans who saved their ass. It was Native Americans that saved white people that day. They brought them food, they brought them shelter, they brought them clothing. Those Pilgrims didn't have a pot to throw it out of when they landed here. Do you understand that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I know you didn't know that.
Well, if I'd looked it up.
Well, how about looking it up before you call me? Everybody else gets the good guests. I get an idiot like you.
I'm still going to have to get really hammered at this Thanksgiving dinner for me to have the UN sitting at my table.
Oh, get out of here. And don't forget that one either, Art. The Indians are the guys that saved our ass. They saved our gravy, if you'll pardon the expression. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, head on over to www.philhendryshow.com. You'll pick up a brand spanking new item, the new Ted's of Beverly Hills North Pole shirt. This thing is sweet. It's the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse North Pole shirt. Now, this has that, what they call fleece. It's called polar fleece. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but who cares? You've got your cozy new Ted's North Pole 100% polyester spun anti-pill fleece to keep you warm. You guys know what I'm talking about? This is a really cool shirt. It's black. It's a half zip. It opens at the bottom with a Polar Tech pullover with a concealed pocket in the shape of side panels, self-collar, and top stitching details. It's featuring Ted's famous logo embroidered on the front left chest. It's a great little cold weather item. Man, you got to get this. That's the Ted's of Beverly Hills new North Pole Polar Fleece Pullover. Jesus, we got to get a better name for these things. In any event, go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, for more information. Also, our Dumbass of the Year Awards coming up December the 23rd on the Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray is on now. She was on our show yesterday, and here she is.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know what? I'm shaking right now. I know exactly what's going on in society. And you know what? I don't want to be a part of it. You are such a shallow, shallow, shallow woman. I have four children in the back of my van. And no amount of money in the world will make me support a career that's going to... Okay, I have dreams for my kids, and they have dreams, and I will support them. But if I am able... If they tell me that I am, for example, this Michael Jackson thing, and I knew that he was sued, I would say, you know what, honey, go to another person. If I don't know anything about that person's history, and I, you know, do the research or whatever, then I will support it. But if I find out something like that, no, I would not. I don't care $20, $30, $40 billion.
Darling. I understand, darling, but I have to ask you something.
Yes.
How do you explain a David Schwimmer, a Bob Saget?
I would like to think that there are people out there that can go beyond looks, beyond shape, beyond color, beyond size, and find people's talent and their heart and the core of who they are.
You'd like to think that,
I'm
but
shaking.
I've worked in this city long enough to know it ain't necessarily so.
You know what?
I feel
sorry for you. I am so sad for you that you think that this world is such a sad, hopeless place.
No, obviously, I don't think that at all. I'm saying, you know something, there's an old saying, opportunity knocks. Are you ready to open the door?
And are you saying that your kid getting molested is an opportunity?
Exactly. That's what
I'm saying. You make a soap purse out of a sow's ear. You make lemonade out of lemons. You don't sit back on your haunches. $20 million, Teresa.
As a parent, it's your role. It is your role to guide them. And when you come up with something like that, you take that chance.
Teresa, $20 million.
You know, $20 million. I would rather live in a box. You know, I hate to say it, and I'm being very idealistic by saying that.
Back that way. We had it tough as kids, but kids nowadays have it tougher, Teresa.
And I agree.
Hold him back.
But you know what, my kids, I've got four of them, okay? And I've got four of them in the van. We're on our way to the grocery store. I just took my kids to Taekwondo, okay? I made my husband pull over to a grocery store to a payphone. I am shaking that much in the car.
Wait a minute.
And my children are there listening, and I'm thinking, I would never, ever, $20 million, $40 million, $100
million. Darling, are your children listening right now?
I don't know. I'm not in the car. I'm on a
Let me say this to Teresa's children. You're very lucky to have a mother like her. She sounds wonderful. But why not give it up to a TV producer?
Listen. I don't want to hear that if the lady doesn't want to hear it.
So now you're, what are you, a dictator, Mr. Henry?
No, ma'am, but you're talking to this woman's children to give it up to a TV producer?
Yeah.
Good
is that what
God.
She said? You know, I'm so sorry. I've never. I am sorry for your. You know
will
what?
You
I'm sorry
million?
For your children if you ever, ever say something like that.
Teresa,
I really am.
Jason J. Delmonico is my son. He has worked with Harrison Ford. He has worked with some of the greats.
And
I
you think the you think that the trauma that one.
Right. I don't think you need to say it, Teresa. I think that Margaret. You live in a world, you know, where things...
That's right. There's a woman caller, and called her ignorant of what was going on in the world.
Absolutely.
It's you that's...
The world doesn't work the way you want it to anymore, Teresa. It's grab it while you can.
You know what?
It's
you
work
either...
or starve.
I will not water down what I believe for the no matter
well,
amount of money.
Get a load of Margaret Sanger, will you?
Wait a minute. Are you being facetious?
No. She's all of a sudden holding herself above everybody else.
No, that's not.
Look at you leading the suffragette march.
You know what?
You know, look. Let's
I'm a
not
very
get...
humble person. I don't live.
Oh, really?
You know,
I tell you what, honey. Wrap the bunting around your ass.
Oh, look at Margaret. Don't get personal with the lady. She's saying what she's saying, and that's how she feels.
Just as you've got her opinion, you know what? I understand. And, you know, I'm not. I don't
Do you know why you're teaching your children Taekwondo? So that they can avoid a great opportunity. The next guy that tries to touch them, they're going to kick him in the balls, when in point of fact...
Yeah, what? They ought to give it up?
Exactly.
All right, Teresa, thank you very much for your call.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Anyway, go to our website and pick up our Best of the Year 2003 CD as well. All the money goes to my friend's place. A resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Bill Henry Show will be right back.
Here's Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, no, here we go. We got another mugshot of a juiced-up celebrity. Glenn Campbell, he looked like 100 miles of bad road getting booked into some cop station last night. Where was this, Janice? Phoenix? Did you see him? Glenn Campbell. Now, many of you don't know who he is. This guy sang... Actually, Glenn Campbell has had a distinguished career as a session guitar player, as a singer... I would say the guy's done very well for himself, and nowadays, of course, his star may be in eclipse or whatever the hell they call it, but what does he care, right? The cat had a lot of hit records in the late 60s and early 70s, and like that. But this is going to, all of a sudden, we got an epidemic of these ugly freaking celebrity kissers. It's like to make a freight train take a dirt road, man, with a pound of buttermilk. I throw together a lot of real old holler sayings and see whatever comes out right. I'd like to take a pound of buttermilk with a quart of your face and just stuff it all, you know, with a chipmunk and a kangaroo, too. I've been to two World's Fairs and a 4th of July picnic. So Glenn Campbell got popped for, apparently he ran into somebody's car, then he raced down the road in just breathing Jack Daniels fumes all the way. Throwing baggies of stuff out the window. I'm joking. I don't know if that was the case. I'm sure Campbell's just screaming down the road with just baggies flying out the window. And his mugshot was on a lot of websites. Smoking Gun, as you know, has revolutionized the way we look at celebrities. Revolutionized it. Because they have made readily available to us celebrities in their most unglamorous. And Diane Arbus, God bless her and God rest her soul, who was the great photographer and made a career of photographing people in their most unflattering moments in unflattering light. She ain't got nothing on a police camera in a booking station at 3 a.m., Jim. That's, you talk about unflattering light. They booked that Christian Slater's old lady. What was her name? Oh, man. Boy, she looked like if she was, she looked like it was the wrong time of the month, and she had a real thick cleaver in her hand. She had on an apron, a cleaver, and you're walking into the kitchen late for dinner, and it's the wrong time of the month. Good luck, Ace. Nice knowing you. Then they had that Nick Nolte, which, of course, is famous because Nolte, I'll say this, for being drunk, he didn't look bad. I've looked worse. If I had hair, I'd look a lot worse. The hair's sticking up. What is that? What did you do, man? Did you fall down, Nick? What did you do that night? I want to know. You must have fallen down, man. I mean, how does the hair get sticking up? You know, it's like, what, did you stick your finger in the cigarette lighter? Then, the one that we didn't comment on because I'm a gentleman, but I'm only a gentleman for so long, Winona Judd. You know who she is with the Judds? That's a country music group, right? Winona Judd. It takes hours for her to, well, I don't want to be unkind. I mean, I personally don't think she's the greatest looking woman in the world, but by the same token, she's not unattractive. Yeah, not unattractive, man, as long as you keep her away from a freaking booking station, as long as you keep her away from that fingerprint file and the camera. When's the last time Michael Jackson had black on his hands when he was fingerprinted? That's pretty sad, man. Now, anyway, I was
That's all right, Dan.
Will you turn that off, please?
No, no, it's right, it's right. It's Glenn Campbell.
Turn it off, man!
Why?
Because I ain't done talking, that's why.
All right, it's off.
No, it isn't.
That makes me ten.
All of a sudden, I'm in the middle of talking, and I'm hearing banjo music.
Well, that's Glenn Campbell. I got the music because it's perfect. It's perfect. I had an inspiration. When I heard you talking, I went, oh, Glenn Campbell. I bet Mr. Henry want to hear a music of him. I run down, I get record, I put on.
Listen, dopey, put it on when I'm done talking or when I cue for it. Don't just come running in here, throw it into the CD player, hit the button, and it just starts rolling. Did it ever occur to you I got to be done talking?
It was background music.
Well, how's this background music? Oh, yeah, okay, so anyway, I was born in 1952. That ain't background music, it's too loud.
Didn't have it that loud.
Well, it was loud enough. God, man, I mean, I'm sorry, I don't want to yell at you, but, Anyway, so Glenn Campbell gets booked at some juice station over there, the sheriff, the Maricopa sheriff. What's this?
This is more sedate.
It's still too loud. And I don't need it right now. I'm talking about Glenn Campbell being booked for drunk driving.
Right.
By the time
see? I get to Phoenix.
I'll be sober.
Turn
it off, man, and do your shtick for somebody else. Anyway, so this guy, Glenn Campbell, who's well known to a great many people, you know, not a half bad cat, he gets booked into the American. Dickman, I'm going to kick your ass.
This is what he was singing in the cell, you dumbass!
What?
This!
So, long. So what, man? It doesn't... Singing turn it same down! Turn it down! Down. What's the story, man? Are you trying to mess me up this early?
No! This is a song he was singing when they book him in the cell.
What?
When he was drunk, he was singing that song.
Rhinestone Cowboy.
Yeah.
I've been walking these streets so long.
No kidding, huh?
No kidding.
Well, he wasn't singing by the time I got to Phoenix, and he wasn't singing Gentle on My Mind either. Why were you playing that? All right, so play it when I cue you, man, not when you think you ought to play it. So anyway, these celebrities. Now, this Winona Judd, when they got a picture of her, oh, good God. That poor, poor woman. That poor woman. Any illusion that any man ever had about Winona Judd being some kind of pearl in the navel of womanhood went right out the freaking window when they got a look at her kisser on that smoking gun. Good God Almighty. Am I kidding or am I not? Even Janice, who's a huge Judd's fan. Don't you like them? You know, she didn't look too hot, right? See, the word is on poor little Winona, she's a very talented, but she doesn't look too much like her mother, does she? Now, we know, it's true, she doesn't look a lot like Naomi. The reason being that Winona is from a different father than Ashley. Now, Ashley is gorgeous. And Naomi probably at one time in her life was, I don't know, don't look like it anymore. No, she's fine. But I would say that...
You want me to get some Judge music instead?
Turn it off! Yeah, that's it, man. Cue some Judge music. So, Winona, she comes from some father that Naomi had an affair with when they were freshmen in high school or something. Some real white trash story. And, of course, where's he now? Nobody knows. I don't know. Maybe he's around. And then Ashley is the daughter of another guy, so that's the way that goes. But I ain't never seen Ashley in a mugshot. Just Winona. No wonder Winona's out there getting hammered. So, and then who's the... Now, the latest is this guy, Glenn Campbell. He's got a look on his face like he sucked on about a bag of lemons. He looks like he got no love for any cop. Of course, in that state, who loves a cop, right? When you're in that state of mind, the cop don't love you and you don't love them. But they also have videotape of Glenn Campbell walking into the booking station. Do you know, folks, there isn't a move you can make anymore without somebody shoving a camera straight up your rear end? And I'll tell you something else, that a lot of you guys, this will come as a shock, because everybody wants to blame the government. Well, the government did this, and the government's intruding on your life here, and the government's intruding. The government ain't intruding on your life. Private business is intruding on your life. Your neighbors are intruding on your life. Your kids are intruding on your life. In other words, just anybody that's got a video camera is intruding on your life. What are you blaming Big Brother? You cats that do that Big Brother thing, man, get with the 21st century. You are way off the mark. It's not government that you need to be afraid of. It's everybody else.
Can I play something that's appropriate for your rant?
Can you do what?
Can I play something appropriate for your rant? Political and very...
Go ahead. It's not government. Just make sure that it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Don't make it too loud.
Right.
So it's not government, folks. It's your neighbors. The neighbors that you have are people who are going to... What the hell is this?
Wichita lineman.
How's this appropriate for my rant?
I am a lineman for the county. And I drive them...
How's this appropriate for my rant?
All right, maybe it isn't. I'll find something else.
Wichita lineman. I was gonna... What's this?
This is the blues. This is appropriate.
And why is this appropriate?
Because Glenn Campbell has the blues. He's sitting in a jail cell all by his lonesome. Ain't got no friend in the world. He's just drunken on his ass.
Uh-huh. What's the name of the song?
Drunken on Your Ass.
Oh, okay. Well, let's listen to a little bit of Drunken on Your Ass.
Every day.
Yes, Glenn Campbell. All right, 1-800. Thanks, bud, you idiot. 1-800.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686. Forget it. Oh, here. Oh, look at Winona Judd here. God almighty. Woo-hoo! And Campbell. He must be mugging here, right? I think he's doing this as a goof. God, he looks like the freaking... If you saw this guy looming in your window as a kid, you'd swear. You know, who are you more afraid of? Michael Jackson or Glenn Campbell looking like this? And then there's Nick Nolte. They took a picture of his ugly puss right outside the Malibu substation, or L.A. County Sheriff substation. Put it all together, and what do you got? You got the human race stripped bare, folks. You've got celebrity stripped bare. And isn't that what all you want, huh? You all want that, don't you? And Michael Jackson, you want to see him dead too, don't you? Yes, you do. The press is ready to kill Michael Jackson. They are ready now to make the final... the final assault and put him to death. That's what they want because they think that's what you want. Now, I was...
And I need you more than won't you.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Remember that story about Sean Penn going to Baghdad and becoming a writer? Well, there's more on that, and I'll tell you about it in a second here. Michael Jackson update. There's a company out in Santa Monica that rents jets. That if you have occasion to rent a jet, you don't want to be renting it from these guys. You talk about some lowlifes. You talk about, if what I'm reading is true, you talk about lowlife, backstabbing, no good, no count, suck the freaking yolk right out of an egg. Dog. But in other news, by the way, I want to find out, because we were talking about Naomi Judd, how do you get hepatitis C? I asked Janice, you know, Naomi Judd, and who's the other one? Pamela Anderson. How does one get hepatitis C? And Janice answers back, by not washing your hands after going to the bathroom. So two of the more high-profile, and I would say beautiful women in show business, what, they go and take a crap and they don't wash their hands and now they got hepatitis C? Sharing drug needles, getting pricked with a needle that has infected blood on it, being born to a mother with hepatitis C, getting a tattoo or body piercing with unsterilized dirty tools. In other words, some form of white trash behavior. That's what we're saying. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Among the many things coming up on our show on this beautiful Thanksgiving Day, coming up Thursday and Friday, the Steve Bozell Marathon. So no matter what you're doing on Thanksgiving Day, between 4 and 7 on Pacific Time, please tune in our show. We're going to have a Steve Bozell Marathon that you can have a blast with your family. And the same thing on Friday. Now, Roy Hutchins came over last Thanksgiving. Roy is, of course, Steve's next-door neighbor. And he saw Steve eating the turkey neck. Steve claims eating the turkey neck is a family tradition to remember the days of being poor in the Depression. But when Roy saw him eating it, Roy said, "Hey, Steve, I didn't know you ate baked penis." Here it is from our Steve Bozell Marathon coming up this Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I think here you got a closet homo here.
What are you talking about? I've got a wife, I've got a son and a daughter.
Well, then, that's a good stand-in for you, then. You got a good cover there, buddy, because you're a closet homo.
How do you figure?
Well, it's obvious that anybody looks at a turkey neck and comes up with a phallic symbol.
I didn't. My next-door neighbor, Roy Hutchins, did. He's the one.
Well, then, you're one hand touched from being in bed with him. You got to go to bed with your neighbor.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Well, let me ask you this. If he told you to go down on his turkey neck, you'd probably do it, right?
You know something? If you were standing in front of me, I'd kick you around the block for drill.
Son, I'd have your head turned around so fast you wouldn't be able to say turkey neck.
I doubt it. I sincerely do.
And you know what? Ain't nobody crazy enough to give you any of that 911 money. They ought to put you in a funny farm yourself.
Oh, yeah? They've got more 911 money. They know what to do with. All them victims have been paid off and paid off yet again.
Yeah, but son, they ain't going to give you a dime of it for your stupid, ridiculous homo tendencies. You need to see a shrink or somebody find out why your head's square on the back end and round in the front.
Okay, you laughing too, Mr.
Son?
I'll tell you this right now. I have a family tradition. We eat the turkey neck with no hands. I suppose you think that's weird.
Well, actually, that's pretty good. You're all set up, then. The guy that grabs the back of your head, he don't want your hands in the way either when he's pulling you down on him. You'd be great.
Boy, I'll tell you what, right now, you know all about it, don't you?
You ought to go down to South Beach and you ought to sell me your own services.
Hey, listen,
you're going to
You know what? Spend a little less time in the rest stop, a little longer driving the truck, okay?
Listen, there's plenty of guys out there ready to drink with you.
I'll bet you know them all, too. I bet you got all their phone numbers.
As soon as you admit that you're a queer, I think the biggest danger to your kid is you.
Hey, why don't you give me your black book and I'll call some of them.
Okay, what are you guys doing now?
This guy's full of crap.
All right, listen.
Sir, I don't come and kick the sailor's parts out of your mouth when you're working.
Okay. So there you have Steve Bozell and his eating the turkey neck tradition, and that's what that devolved into. And that'll be part of this Thanksgiving's Steve Bozell Marathon. Steve Bozell, one of our favorite guests. You know, Steve is a construction contractor from Corona, California, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Now, on December the 23rd, we're also going to have our Dumbass of the Year Awards, the first ever Dumbass of the Year Awards. These are the awards that we feel are most deserving for this year. We're going to have Dumbass of the Year Caucasian Division, African American Division. We'll have Dumbass of the Year Youth Division, Dumbass of the Year Female, Male, Dumbass of the Year Movie Star, Dumbass of the Year Television Star, Dumbass of the Year Politics. Do we have a music category, Janice, or is music so insignificant these days that we don't? We do have a Dumbass of the Year music category. And then we will have the overall big Who is the Dumbass of the Year. It'll be happening on the 23rd of December. We will broadcast these awards live as they happen at the Kodak Theater on Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, California. It's going to be star-studded. Well, I don't know if there's going to be any stars there, but it'll, you know, it'll sound like it. It'll look good. So that'll be happening on the 23rd of December, the Dumbass of the Year Awards. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I got to get back into that Sean Penn stuff that I was talking about last week, because this guy's really starting to tighten my jaws. Now it's happening again. Now Drudge is reporting that Penn may go back to Baghdad as a reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. What is it with this? This is the guy, Phil Bronstein, who let a lizard do him good at the zoo the other day. The guy's married to Sharon Stone, but he'd rather have a lizard, you know, mount him. He'd rather have a lizard crawl on him and grunt than Sharon. This guy's offering Sean Penn to go back to Baghdad to become a reporter because he was over there and he's got the whole thing down. Because he took his kids over there and he took pictures of little kids with one eye and then came over here and made all of those tired, predictable statements about the war machine, America, and all the suffering that we've passed on. Let me tell you something, kid. And I mean this sincerely. I really mean this. Hey, Penn, you go to Baghdad, and you walk around there with your thumb up your rear end while our guys are getting shot at, some of them getting killed, trying to secure that country, and you're over there with your camera, and you're taking pictures of all the bad stuff that America's doing, and you weren't man enough to do it when Hussein was over there? I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to be very happy with you. If you got any manhood at all, man, you go over to some place where they still got the dictator in control and do some of that stuff, as opposed to waiting for Uncle Sam to clear it out for your movie star ass to go over there and play like you're a reporter. You start making fun of the flag, man, while our guys are dying. Brother, don't let it happen.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, everybody, it's time for Bud Dickman's most radical accidents in NASCAR. Year-end edition. Oh. Yes, the NASCAR season has come to an end, but that don't mean we don't have some yoo-hoo barn-burning crashes for y'all.
Stop it.
What are you doing?
Don't go into the hick thing, okay?
But that's what it's all about.
NASCAR has become very cosmopolitan. It has a broad appeal. There's a lot of people that like it. It ain't the hick thing no more, man. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? Even this music, I told you don't use this music because it ain't the hick thing anymore. Jeff Gordon, all these guys, this is uptown stuff. You can't be sitting there doing NASCAR, races. All of this stuff where you're talking like a hick.
But I was practicing my hick voice.
Forget it, man. That's old stuff. You know, that stuff, that don't play anymore. It's uptown.
Uptown.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bob Dickman.
Turn it off. Don't make fun of me. Just do it the way I want you to do it.
Will you tell me it's uptown?
Just play the freaking hick music then. But don't go into the, howdy everybody, that's bar and burning stuff.
How about if I split the difference?
You rising.
Yep, every day we've got these NASCAR crashes.
she'll find the note.
Are we going to be hearing these jokes all day just because the guy got his face, you know, just because he got his face, you know, snapped because he's juiced?
Good. Spit it out, why don't you?
All right. That's right, man.
You'll be sorry.
Now just do it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bud Dickman of the...
Okay, if you don't want to do it right, I'm sorry I hit you. Here, you can hit me.
I can?
Yeah, go ahead.
Ow.
All right, I felt better.
Gotta keep them going.
Hi, everybody. At Talladega, Alabama, on September 28, 2003, one of the greatest crashes ever was on lap 182 when Elliot Sadler made contact with Kurt Busch doing an estimated 195 miles an hour. Sadler spins and the entire car lifts into the air and flies some 250 feet while doing one complete end-over-end flip. Yeah!
Got to be.
And then he flies farther than the Wright brothers' first flight of just 120 feet 100 years earlier. So check that out! Sadler's car slams into the ground and slides on its roof another 200 feet through the infield grass. Then the car flips 4.5 times. Sadler gets out of the car and waves to the crowd unhurt. Raging. Now, Ward Burton bumped Ken Schrader coming off of turn 4 at the Daytona 500 on February 8, 2003. They're doing about 200 miles an hour. Schrader is forced into Ryan Newman. Both Schrader and Newman slam hard into the wall. Newman's car goes airborne, flips 3 times before coming to rest on its top. Newman walks away.
Big wheels rolling, moving on.
And waves to the crowd. After coming to the infield car, care center, he complains to reporters that he's still got dirt and grass stuck in his teeth. April 21st, 2002, Talladega, Alabama, Aaron's 499. Mike Wallace hits Tony Stewart. Stewart bounces off the wall into traffic. 24 cars are involved.
Yeah, that's all that happened there.
Special breed to be a truck.
Now, our most radical runner-up of the year, the Pepsi 400 in Daytona Beach, Florida, July 6th, under the lights. On lap 137, Dale Jarrett tags Jeff Burton. Both go spinning out of control into traffic. Brett Bodine smashes, crashes, and burns. He burns alive on the infield.
Oh.
Anyway.
Nah, he was okay.
And now, Bud Dickman's most radical classic. It was at the Aaron's 499 at Talladega, Alabama, April 6, 2003. This is it, baby. This is the best, most rad accident of the year.
Gotta keep him going.
On lap 4, Ryan Newman cuts down a left rear at more than 200 miles an hour.
What?
He spins and the crashing begins. Casey Mears, Hermie Sadler, Ricky Rudd, they're all out of the race. A total of 27 cars involved. The most cars ever involved in a single crash in the history of NASCAR. Ricky Rudd was heard to say,
Oh no.
No, not the biggest crash in the history of NASCAR. No! Well, folks, that's it. This is Bud Dickman. Until next year, remember.
Oh no. No, no, not that.
Not Ricky Rudd! No!
Brand new floor shine shoes.
Gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling.
What does that mean?
What?
What is that brand new floor shine shoes?
That was out of the... Just don't play it back to me, man. I know what I'm doing.
Oh, well, excuse me. Well, that's it then, huh, for the season?
Yeah, that's it. That's all the NASCAR races. Then the season starts again. I think in, like, January.
When's the Daytona 500?
That's in February. If you were listening, it's on February 4th.
Well, I missed it. So that's it for NASCAR, huh? Boy, that's a hit. And that was a big one. That was where?
That was the Aaron's 499, Talladega, Alabama, April 6, 2003. Ryan Newman cuts down a left rear.
Does that mean he ran up the left rear end of a guy? What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
He ran up a guy's rear.
Oh, yeah, does everything have to do with sex, man? When it says Ryan Newman cut down a left rear at more than 200 miles an hour, he must have run up the rear end of the guy. What I mean is the front of his car went up the guy's rear. What are you laughing about, man? You know exactly what I'm talking about. If the guy just, you know, he...
Back-ended him.
Yeah. Good luck, man. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to...
The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
There's a jet service. You got to hear this to believe this one. But why would I be surprised? The company is called, I want to get the name of this company right. It's like something like Extra Jet, and it's out of Santa Monica, and it's the service that was contracted by Michael Jackson and his party to fly from Las Vegas to Santa Barbara. It's one of these executive jets. It's a charter service, and it ain't cheap. And it's what many celebrities and people who have money use to be able to get from one place to the next without having to hassle the ordinary things that the rest of us hassle. And you know, if I had the bread, I'd do the same thing, man. It's a pretty sweet way to go. Sweet way to go, that is, if they're not videotaping your ass while you're sitting in their plane and then trying to sell it to the news. Yeah! That's what Extra Jet was trying to do, according to the news. I mean, they're falling all over themselves. They can't wait to see this guy die, this Michael Jackson. They're just doing everything they can to kill him. Now, I know many people have no sympathy for Michael Jackson because they think he's a child molester. They've already got him convicted. They got the guy lynched. They got the rope all ready to go, man. And the people that don't like him, they're the predictable ones, too, aren't they? You can almost pick out of the crowd the cats that don't like Michael Jackson. Does white ring a bell? All right, so I won't go there. Let's just say balding with an Irish last name. Okay? You talk about a guy with some serious psychosexual problems. I think it's that guy. I think Forehead Boy, that cat, every time he opens his mouth, there's some reference to, I think that sex is wrong. Look at these pictures. They're of underage boys. God! And they're always rapping about lesbian custody and gay this and gay that. You know, you want to say, what's the hang-up, man? I mean, what are you afraid? What's wrong? You think the whole world is dumber than you and you got to save everybody from it? Is that it? Why, these lesbians are... Well, so what, man? Is it happening in your school? What's happening in our public schools? Well, your kids haven't been in a public school in years, you turd. You took them out and put them in private schools. What do you care? I care about our country. Oh, no, you don't care about your country. You care about your paycheck. You care about your country. You would have kept your kids in public school. Would have been a member of the PTA in a public school. I bet you that not one of those guys, not one of those talking douches on Fox News, not a one of those guys is a member of a PTA or a PTO at a public school. Anybody want to bet me? I got $1,000. I got $1,000 that says Hannity, Combs, O'Reilly, who's the other guy? Shepard Smith. Every one of those turds, there's not one of them that is on any kind of a PTO at a public school. Now that's $1,000 American payment in cash. Somebody wants to send me proof that one of any of those cats that's a lead anchor on Fox News is a member of a PTO or a PTA at a public school, I'll pay you $1,000. You got to give me your name and address. I'll pay it to you, man. I'll give you a cashier's check or whatever the hell you want. You want to know why? I'm confident that all of those scumbags, one way or another, are got their kids shoved into a private school. Hey, I got my kid in a private school, but I got my reasons for having him in a private school. I don't like the public freaking school out where my kids go to school. Besides that, my kids are like Catholics, so you're supposed to go to a private school, aren't you? It says, or the Pope excommunicates you. And are your children in private school, Phil? No, Father. Well, your ass is going to burn. Well, I tell you what, Phil, if your kids aren't in private school, then a couple of G's to the L.A. Archdiocese in an envelope once a month ought to do the job. Yes, Father, thank you.
You're welcome.
The whole reason why priests have Irish accents is to kind of throw you off the track, you know? So they sound like Barry Maguire. They sound like that guy in It's a Wonderful Life. So it throws you off the track of the fact that these guys are like freaking kid fondlers.
No guy that talks like this.
You know, any cat that sounds like the Lucky Charms leprechaun can't possibly be a kid fondlement suspect. Now, so Michael Jackson flies in, and what's the first thing that these guys over here at Extra Jet try to do? They got videotape of Michael Jackson rapping with his attorney inside this jet, this Extra Jet, and they want to know if they can sell it to the media. You guys are done. Anybody takes Extra Jet, you know what you're getting. Extra Jet out of Santa Monica allegedly tried to sell tapes, private tapes of private conversations that Michael Jackson was having with his attorneys. They tried to sell it to some freaking news organization. And then when they asked these guys, where'd you get the tape? Well, we don't know how. We had no idea how the camera got in there. Of course not. Of course not. Just guys that work for you allegedly were trying to sell it off for news. I mean, anything they can do and everything they can do to get this guy convicted and sent up is what they're doing. I've never seen a more concerted effort to get a guy railroaded like I've seen this job on Michael Jackson. Honest to God. Honest to God. And you know, we were talking about it yesterday. The latest and greatest is this: his house is a little unusual. Okay, well, speak for yourself. He looks funny. Yeah, speak for yourself. Well, he has had a lot of plastic surgery. Oh, well, that never happens in America either, does it? Okay, well, he looks like a chick. Ever heard of metrosexual? Next. Well, he's black, but he wants to be white. Ever heard of Lena Horne? I'm kidding. He's black, but he wants to be white. Bill Cosby! Who's a black guy that would love to be white? You see him all over the place. That cat that was on the Lawrence Welk show, that other guy. Yeah, that guy in the Lawrence Welk show, oh my God. You got to be old enough to remember that when we were little tiny kids, Janice and I, and you guys were just a fart in the bedroom, there was a show on called Lawrence Welk, and they danced to Bubble Machines. Well, the criticism of Welk was that he was kind of a racist and he didn't have enough dark people on his staff. So he went out and he got the most chocolate-covered black guy you could find. He got the most light-skinned Mocha Mix cat. And what did he do? Well, take a guess. You got it. He was the resident tap dancer. I mean, it was messed up. Now, they had all kinds of dancers on the show. I shouldn't say that. But this cat was... Welk had that strange, like, German accent. I mean, the guy came from America, didn't he? But he had this, what we like to do is bring out, he talked like Bela Lugosi, and he came from North Carolina or something. Anyway, he says, let's bring out, now here's, and the guy had a name like Shine. You know, just everything about it was wrong. Let's bring out Shine O'Sullivan and dance to that great old song, you know, Way Down Upon the Suwannee River. And out comes this guy who looks, everything about him is white except his skin is like a deep, you know, I don't mean to put the cat down. I shouldn't say anything about it. I don't mean to, you know, a guy's got to work. How'd we get on this? Black guys want to be white? Never mind. Huh? Extra J? Well, get your mind right. All right, anyway. So, this Extra Jet, then I get this videotape, I'm going to sell it. Boy, I'll tell you what, hey, Michael, do yourself a favor, man. You might as well just kill yourself because they're not going to let you be innocent. They're not going to let you be innocent. They'll find a way. They'll contact everybody they know. They'll contact everyone that they can possibly think of. All of their buddies at Fox, all their buddies at CNN, and they'll find a way to railroad your ass right into a prison cell. You're done for, man. You know, the word was they were going to... the word was that he had asked the pilot to change direction and fly to Mexico or something, right? And, of course, I thought, oh, that's bull crap. But I could well imagine a man in his position, Michael Jackson, saying, I got no shot. Those guys are not going to give me a fair trial. They've got me convicted already, man. I'm done. I got to get out of here. I'd do it. What do you think? I'm going to fly into a kangaroo court someplace? Would you? If you're Michael Jackson, would you honestly throw yourself on the mercy of the freaking court? And if you're innocent, do you think that you got a shot? First of all, you got this hammerhead DA up in Santa Barbara. This guy picking his freaking teeth in between catfish sandwiches. Dumbass is up that can't give a proper press conference. That guy wants your ass. Just about every other person wants you. Just about every sick and twisted member of the news media wants you. You haven't got a prayer. I'd take it on the lam, man. I'd be out of here so fast they wouldn't be able to find me for love or freaking money. I'd be up there in Canada someplace. I'd be staying with, I'd stay up there with Janice's people. I'd stay up there with some of her people there in Yellowknife. Hey, hairhead. What was it called, Janice? Hey, hair. That's what the Indians used to call Janice up there in Yellowknife when she was doing stand-up. She's doing stand-up in Yellowknife? Oh, my God. So what is the audience? In other words, it's just a bunch of cats. They're all sort of, you know, Indians with bifocals. And Janice is up there. Hey, how you doing? All right, now, number one, let's get something straight. Not really. Hey, here. Can I buy you a drink? 1-800-449-8686. Extra Jet, Santa Monica. Next time you're flying someplace, I'd pass on those guys. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit more about our Steve Bozell marathon, and we're also going to play a cut from The Death of Talk Radio, the new Phil Hendry CD, Best of the Year 2003 CD, coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. Now Phil Hendry.
Well, our best of the year 2003 CD is out. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. It's a two CD set for $20. It's really a bargain, baby. All the money goes to my friend's place. So this ain't no record industry thing where you're paying some jacked up price for a suspect product. You're getting two CDs for $20. And the bread goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids. So the money basically goes right back straight into the community. Now, we're going to play a cut from our CD. We hope you go online at www.philhenryshow.com and see if you'd like to, you know, to buy it. It's in our souvenir shop. Well, also, our new Ted's of Beverly Hills North Pole pullover is available there. This is a cut from CD 1, and it is Lloyd Bonafide. He and the wife went to Burning Man one day last summer. Burning Man is a kind of a really geek festival that happens out in the desert where all the UFOologists and all these geeks get together, and then they set fire to this large straw man at the end of the thing. In any event, Lloyd got into it with some motorist at one point, tossing his wife's cat onto the guy's face as he was driving a convertible. Here is Lloyd with Burning Man from The Death of Talk Radio.
That idiot just say Bacardi and Coke and a Tylenol 3.
Who am I speaking with? This is Lloyd Bonafide, please. Hello?
Lloyd, my name is Caroline.
Yes, and sir. Did you just call me an idiot?
Yes, I did, sir. I have been listening to you, sir, as quite a few people, so now it's my turn.
Uh-huh.
You have used and abused this radio show to get some sort of warped message out to your public, if you will.
You know, you sound like you could use a Bacardi and Coke and a Tylenol.
Sir, is your position with this RV organization an elected position?
I was appointed a public relations spokesman for the Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association. Did you just get up from a nap, or?
Will you just let the woman finish?
All right.
I don't have any idea why any organization that represents A, senior citizens, and B, senior citizens that drive would have
I know what you're getting at.
Representative of their organization.
I know what you're getting at. I threw the cat as a last resort.
I'm not talking about the cat, sir.
Caroline, did you party last night?
All right, well, we stick to the point here, please. So, Caroline, you think that the guy...
She has no problem with me throwing the cat.
Do you have any
problem? Actually, sir, I have a big problem with you throwing the cat. I have a very big problem with the fact that you keep referring to the Korean War as if it's some sort of a badge to be worn as you're the only person that went to Korea. You know what, sir? I wish that you had stayed in Korea because Lord knows, we certainly don't need you here.
Are you kidding me? I fought for this country. I came back and started one of the most successful heating and plumbing businesses in the San Gabriel Valley. I had a daughter and a grandson. My wife and I retired 4 years ago. I sold the business to my son-in-law. I'm here at Burning Man. I've had 2 rum and cokes and 2 Tylenol 3s, and I feel great. And I'm sorry that I threw a cat at a man's head, but he tossed me a bone, and a man doesn't do that to a Korean War veteran. And I'll tell you something else, Caroline, that you may not like. I don't have my clothes on right now.
You know, I guess he thinks it's a big joke, huh?
That's one of the things you do at
Burning Man.
This radio show has given you a large gift.
I don't have my clothes on because that's what we do at Burning Man. It's not sexual.
Well, you know, if I were anywhere near the lady, if I were anywhere near you, I would try as hard as I could to imitate that Korean woman because you are a joke, sir. You are an absolute joke.
I'll tell you this one.
You have taken advantage of this radio station. You have really taken advantage of me as a new listener,
Caroline,
and you have offended people
in general. I lost weight, let me ask you a question.
Bigger. You said that you threw the cat, you looked around for a weapon, and that cat, Pepper, was sitting on your wife's lap.
That is correct.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to pick your wife up and throw her through the window?
She weighs much more, and I happen to love my wife very deeply.
But you're a Korean War veteran. You're in shape.
You should be able
to pick up anything.
The cat has claws. It's more mobile. When you use a cat in a defensive situation...
you are an absolute ass. And I hope that enough mental health people and enough people in law enforcement have listened to this conversation. And by the end
window.
Of it, Somebody will send some sort of a vehicle with a straitjacket to your location.
Well, I'm not going to throw my wife, the mother of my daughter, out a window just so she can do the splits on some guy's head.
Okay, I've heard about enough. The Allied Seniors Recreational Vehicle Association, huh?
What?
Is that the name of your organization?
Do they have a contact number?
Sir?
Yes, they do. The number is 213. What is the number? I forget what the number is. Can you put it up for me, anybody? No. I don't have it here.
You can go rot in hell because I gave you that number. Look, most guys don't complain when you throw a pussy at them, so...
Okay, that's all I wanted. That's fine. Thank you very much, Caroline.
Okay.
Did you get the joke, Caroline?
That idiot just say Bacardi and Coke.
Oh, okay, that's it. That's from... Now, in order to hear a call like that on Crank Yankers, they have to call that lady. You want to hear that on Jamie Kennedy? He's got to call her. If you want to hear that on, what's some of them other shows? Punked? They got to go out and find her. Those people come to us. That's what makes our show stand apart from all of them and makes it really what it is, the original. God, where's that Glenn Campbell when I need it? I could have cued by the time. So there it is. That's a cut from our Best of the Year 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. It's available now on our website at www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. And the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. If you go to the souvenir shop, you'll also notice we have the new Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse North Pole Polar Fleece Pullover. This copy is wrong, man. You ought to call up Debbie. What does that mean, Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse North Pole? Then it says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse North Pole Polar. So check it out and tell them to change it, if you wouldn't mind. All right, so I was talking to Chris. And another thing, Chris, what's that on your chin, man? I'm kidding. So anyway, it's monkey what? All right, so on the weather outside the weather outside is frightful. Look at me reading this. Anyway, go to our website, check out the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse North Pole Polar Bear, whatever the hell it's called. It's a pullover. It's sweet, too. And we got medium, large, extra large, and for you fat asses like me, double extra large. It's available now at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, I got another edition of How to Read the News. You need this one. You know, the latest now in the Michael Jackson situation, and there's more late-breaking bullcrap coming out on this story than any other story. Michael Jackson is said to have argued with the mother of the boy. Really? Yeah, I'd argue, too, with some skank, some white trash skank, trying to stick a gun to my head for $20 million. I'd argue with her. I'd argue with her if she wanted more money, if she wanted another house, if she wanted another car, if she wanted another this and she wanted another that. Yeah, there'd be arguments, all right. Some white trash skank, some hanky old bag. And that father, did you hear the latest about that? He's weighing in about the treatment of his son. Listen, you jailbird creep. If you never see a kid again, man, it'll probably be too soon. This guy allegedly was convicted of abusing this kid on some level. For God's sake, you know, you may not believe this, but I can tell you it's true. Many men go their entire lives without ever having contact with the police regarding their treatment of their children. Do you know that? Are you're aware of that, aren't you? You didn't know that, huh? A lot of guys actually never have to talk to a cop about the way they treat their kids. But I bet you in your world, huh, Abe? I bet you in your world, Clem, it happens all the time. When you haven't got your ass parked at a bar stool someplace, and you get just enough liquor in your belly to come home and resent the whole world and everything about it, and then you see a little boy with cancer, probably pisses you off, because if you didn't have that, what would you? You'd probably be Lee freaking Majors, wouldn't you, man? You bum. Hey, I got some music that might cheer you up, man. Yeah, this is your kind of stuff, ain't it? Here you go. The hell is this? Ain't this, what's his name? Oh, get out of here. I'm trying to find freaking Glenn Ding Dang Campbell, and he's singing Scarborough Fair. Look, Campbell, man, stick with Gentle on My Mind, okay? Anyway, so here's how to read the news. Here's a news story. I want to teach you how to read this story, because if you believe all this stuff in the context that they want you to believe it, about Michael Jackson arguing with that bag that is the mother of this kid, then you put that together in your puny little brain with this story, and boy, he's guilty. Oh, yeah. Did he argue with her? I would be surprised if he hadn't argued with her, trying to get her out of his life. Now here's a story. Mom raged at changed relationship. This is from Levine Breaking News. You've heard of that, haven't you? Levine Breaking News? This is some Matt Drudge wannabe. He's media expert and best-selling author Michael Levine. Mom raged at change, and the guy bothers us every day with emails. Mr. Levine, do yourself a favor and save the paper and let's stop killing trees. Don't send me any more of your late-breaking e-alerts, all right? I don't need your news. Your take on things. You haven't got a take, sir. You have, you've got a ulterior motive. You ain't got no take. The L.A. comic who introduced Michael Jackson to the 12-year-old cancer victim, now accusing the star of molestation, says the boy's mother angrily called him several months ago to say, quote, something had happened, end quote, between the gloved one and her son. Jamie Masada, owner of the comedy club The Laugh Factory, helped grant the ailing boy's last wish to meet his idol. He told the TV show Extra that the furious mom called him many times to complain about Jacko, and he advised her to call a lawyer or the cops. Masada, who runs Comedy Camp, which arranges for sick and needy children to meet their favorite stars, said he went all out to hook up Jacko and the boy, who was close to death at the time. Masada said that when the boy first met Jacko, there was nothing but smiles and happiness. Oh, you advised her to call a lawyer or the cops, really? Well, what was she talking about? Well, now, there's one thing that this story doesn't have, and it doesn't have what it was that had changed in their relationship, does it? In fact, there's no specific charge whatsoever. All there is some claim made by this guy Masada to some TV show, Extra, saying that he advised her to call the cops or a lawyer. Yeah, why, man? Were you aware that a crime was being committed, Mr. Masada? Were you aware that a felony was being committed against a child? Were you aware that there was a sexual felony being committed against a child and you didn't do anything about it? Or you advised her to call the cops or call a lawyer? You couldn't be bothered. Is that it? Now all of a sudden you're giving interviews? Or maybe Mr. Masada is a victim of some crap can reporting by this guy Levine or Levine or Lewinsky or whatever his name is, who believe, you know, is just taking all of this crap out of context. Let me tell you how to read this story. Mom raged at changed relationship. What does that mean, changed relationship? Ask yourself, does the story tell you in what way the relationship changed? Cancer victim, Jamie Masada, owner of a comedy club. He told the TV show Extra the furious mom called him many times to complain about Jacko. What were the complaints? What was the nature of the complaining? What was the mother angry at? And why was she calling this guy over and over again? Instead of the cops or a lawyer. Is it because she's stupid? Could be, but I doubt it. Is it because she's scheming? Most probably. Why is she calling a comic in Hollywood about, what's his name, Michael? What do you mean, Jacko? Why don't you jack off with Jacko, got it? Who's calling him Jacko anyway? That sounds like some limey thing. Did the limeys come up with that? That doesn't sound American. Let's knock it off with the limey nicknames on Michael Jackson, huh? Jacko sounds like some Aussie thing, doesn't it? Who was that clown back in the 80s with the Energizer commercial? He was a former rugby player in Australia. Energizer! Remember him? His name was Jackass or something. Yeah, the Brits call him that in the tabloids. Hey, Brits, thank you very much. We got our own newspapers, okay? Why don't you go Jacko now, okay? Good. Next thing you know, you'll be calling him Tosso. And with that, let me just say, all right, so this guy is called by this mother, right? And she's complaining about Spanko, and,
I get to Phoenix.
All right. So this cat is calling up a guy. Get out of here with his story, Levine, you jive ass. Masada, who runs Comedy Camp, which arranges for sick and needy children to meet their favorite stars, said he went all out to hook up Jacko. Yeah, good for you. Who was close to death. Yeah, that's great. He said, call a lawyer or the cops, huh? This story stinks from top to bottom. Anybody with 5 cents worth of brains know this is a pile. This is a pile. This is a lot of gossip. This is crap. And I don't know who started it. Whether Jacko did, Spanko, Spanky, Speedo, Jello, any of them cats.
By the time I make Albuquerque.
Yeah. I'll be drinking. So, you know, just get out of here with your bad self, huh? Don't give me this. This is what I mean about knowing how to read a news story, guys. If they say that there's something happened, well, what happened? What happened? She calls up Michael Jack. She calls up this comic and says something's happened. And the comic says, call the lawyer, the cop. Wouldn't you ask the woman, well, what the hell happened? He's sexually molesting my child. Jesus Christ, call the cops. I'll call the cops. No. No, I don't want to do that just yet. There may be money to be made.
I make Oklahoma.
He's in Oklahoma now. There's money to be made, so we don't want to call the cops just yet. What do you mean there's money? What are you talking about, Spaghetti-O?
She'll turn softly.
All right. Anyway, Jacko, nah, he's Michael Jackson, thank you, or the Prince of Pop, or some crap like that. That's what we call him over here. We don't call him no Jacko. Just because you call guys over there dildo. Isn't that what you call George Michael? Jacko and Dildo hook up for a big charity event. Boy, that'd be one for the books, wouldn't it? Michael Jackson and George Michael. Good God, where does one begin and the other end with those guys? All right. Both very talented guys. One guy actually guilty of, you know, doing something in a toilet. The other guy, he ain't done diddly squat. Michael Jackson's never been convicted of anything. You understand that? He has never been convicted of even anything as sick as being out in a public toilet out in the middle of a freaking park in Beverly Hills. What's that about? Man's never done anything like that. George Michael is out there paddling it in the middle of a freaking toilet someplace, and that guy's got a pass. Everybody, well, he's groovy. Instead, what respect does Michael Jackson get? Everybody's calling him Jacko, and they call George Michael Spaghetti-O. Just be thankful they ain't calling you Oreo. Oh, that hurts.
Hanging.
Yeah. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Who's that? That'd be Gregory Hines? Now, he's passed on. Stop it.
That says I'm leaving.
All right, enough with this guy, okay? I'll tell you one thing. Today, Glenn Campbell is sitting on his hick ass in a jail cell, or was. Michael Jackson, he ain't done diddly, man. I don't see no mugshot of him scowling at the camera. Boy, within the last few days, we've had some bizarre mugshots, haven't we? We got Glenn Campbell, who looks like the drunk old man over the back fence that you have to, you know, go into his yard to get your ball and you don't want to. You know, it's like, oh, Jesus, who's going to go get it? I don't want to. You got to go get it. And Michael Jackson, he looks like Joan Crawford. Thank you and good night. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You know, I don't know, man. You know, I'm just going to weigh in again today about Iraq. I'll keep my big mouth shut. But every day I like to remember that there's a mission that we have in Iraq. It started on September the 11th, 2001. A lot of people are pea-brained enough to think that they don't have anything to do with each other. We have a lot of folks who are now reluctant to believe that, you know, the whole thing was just a bad dream, 9/11. And the terrorists, they really don't know what each other's doing. And Bush, what are we doing in Iraq? And we don't get it. Yada, yada, yada. There's a widow of a soldier who was killed in Iraq. She doesn't want to meet Bush. She doesn't want to go to any meetings. She's angry at President Bush. I don't want to be disrespectful to this lady, but you know what? She's being disrespectful to me. You want to know why she's being disrespectful to me? Because she's being disrespectful to my president. You want to know why he's my president, even though I'm a Democrat and didn't vote for him? Because he's my freaking president. That's why. Because I live in this country. Now, this lady's name is Jonna Loya of Pueblo, Colorado. She was engaged to Specialist Brian Peniston of Fort Wayne, Indiana. He was killed November 2 in a helicopter crash. She's got a lot of harsh feelings for the president. She didn't want to watch a live telecast of his speech. Why is that? Because her husband, her fiancé, I should say, died in Iraq. It's understandable that the woman would be upset. It's not understandable she'd be upset with President Bush. In fact, it doesn't make any sense at all. In fact, it's ignorant. I'll tell you who you ought to be pissed at. And you know what they say, these psychologists, they say you misplace your anger or you know what I'm saying, you're angry at one thing, when you ought to be, you know who she's pissed at, don't you? She's angry at Specialist Brian Peniston. That's who she's angry at. She's angry at herself for being engaged to a guy that was in the Army, and she's angry at the guy for getting killed. That's who she's angry at. But somebody'll seize on this woman's story and use it for political purposes. Look at this woman, why she's angry at President Bush. Her husband died. Yeah, but she's angry because, oh, no. Let's not get it all mixed up. Don't mix the people up, Mr. Henry. No, but she's angry because her husband's dead and she's putting on President Bush. Oh, poppycock and balderdash. Falderall. What are you talking about, poppycock, balderdash, and falderall? She's angry at the guy. What's she angry at Bush for? Because he sent the guy over there. Well, whatever, man. This guy's a soldier. He's supposed to go over there. Well, he didn't really know. Didn't know, huh? If you're a soldier and you don't know that you may have to shoot your gun someday, I think they ought to take that gun away from you, seriously. Because you may shoot yourself with it, although that's not a bad idea. You guys who don't want to be in the military anymore, here's a good idea. Take your gun, stick the barrel in your mouth, make sure nobody's around so no one else gets hit, pull the trigger. if you're wearing a military uniform and it like says U.S. Army or Marines or something, and suddenly you realize that like we're big, bad, evil war criminals and all that stuff that Americans love to indulge themselves with, we just love to sit around and indulge ourselves with thoughts of how terrible we are because we're so freaking guilty about feeling good. Well, the rest of the world is wallowing in its own cesspool because that's the world they made for themselves. We happen to have it nice over here, so we got to feel guilty. If you feel bad about all of that, man, and you don't want to go over and you don't want to kill some dark-skinned third world cats and all that baloney, do us all a freaking favor. Take out your sidearm or whatever they give you, stick it in your ear, and pull the trigger. Do the honorable thing. Then there's another one in the news. This is the wife of Representative Kerry. This woman, is he a senator or a representative? He's running for president. I don't mean to disrespect. I don't know who the hell he is. Is he a, whatever he is. I don't care. I don't give a crap what he is, and I don't have to know either. I'll find out when I feel like finding out. All I know is that this woman is married to him, and she said that the people in Guantanamo are prisoners of war, and President Bush is violating their human rights. What are your qualifications, lady? I realize, of course, that you have a right to speak out. You're an American. We all do. I have a right to comment on you being so dumb. Number one, they're not prisoners of war. They weren't wearing uniforms. They're not under the Geneva Convention. Yada, 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 so on and so forth. I don't expect you to understand any of that. And let me say it one more time to Sean Penn while we're on the subject. You go over to Baghdad and start writing your dispatches, you gutless wonder. I dare you to come on this show. Nah, he ain't. I'm too small potatoes for him. Besides, his brain is so freaking pea-sized, the guy comes in here, man, there's going to be nothing left of him but a freaking puddle of green fluid on the floor. I get done with his ass. You don't ever want to come near me, man. That's a guarantee. You don't ever want to come near me. Freaking movie star, going to go over there and write dispatches for the San Francisco Chronicle. Perfect newspaper, too, right? You guys would consider that journalism, wouldn't you? You'd consider this movie star going over there under the protection of the United States government, under the protection of the very soldiers that he would get killed. The guys that are following the orders of a commander-in-chief that Sean Penn thinks is some kind of a war criminal, who thinks the Iraqi people would be better off under Saddam Hussein. Hey, tell you what, man, why don't you ask him that when you're over there? But you know what? You got no credibility, kid, because if you had, if you wanted any credibility, when you were over there the first time snapping pictures of kids in hospitals, you would have gone into the city and gotten a few more details on the stories instead of walking around with Saddam's interpreter and sleeping in their whatever passes for their four-star hotel and eating whatever passes for their four-star food. Dude, don't you know we've been there and done that? Don't you know the American people have seen movie star after movie star bring us the, quote, truth? Don't you know it's been done thousands of boring times before? They're going to bring us the real story. They went over there and they stayed in the four-star, ate the four-star food, and they got the real story, man. They sat around, they broke bread with the big man. You know, they compared nose hairs, maybe had about 9 holes of golf they could squeeze in, and they got the whole 9 yards down, man. They got the whole thing down. And then they come over here and they tell us how it am. Yeah, okay. So this cat is married to this woman. You know, shouldn't there be a law like, you know, if your wife embarrasses you on the trail, you ought to be able to just smack her once. Don't you think? Okay, no, all right. Nobody agrees. Never mind. John Kerry beat his wife last night. Why? What are you doing now?
Well, John, I just felt like I had to...
What do you mean you had to say something? You don't have to say anything. I'm running for president, not you.
Well, John, I think that President Bush is violating the war crimes.
The what? Violating the war crimes? I'm the guy that was in the freaking military, not you. I was in Vietnam. I killed a whole bunch of Vietnamese civilians. I know what I'm talking about.
Well, aren't they war crime people?
War crime people. That's good. That's getting close, baby. Try war criminals.
War criminals.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, man. Although all I know is that the Geneva Convention doesn't cover these cats because when they picked them up, they all had on, like, you know, they were wearing stuff that Chris Pelton threw away. They don't even have any uniforms to wear over there.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's... Thank you. You should have said that in the first place. Well, I don't know.
You know, you're yelling at me. How can I be first lady when you humiliate me and everything like that?
Look, baby, if we ever become president, you are the first. You're the first lady nobody ever even sees. You won't be out of the house. Where's the first lady? You know, she's not well today. It's going to be 4 years solid of that. No first lady here. She's not feeling well. I may be the first president who kills his wife and gets away with it. What do you think of that? Till that happens, man, all these guys got nothing on me. Here's what I want you to do, baby. See this veil? I bought it from Michael Jackson's people, all right? Throw this over your kisser. That's it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Oh, by the way, there's more mass beachings of whales. That's what whales do. Please don't worry about it. Whales don't want to live, all right? Sometimes they just want to die. They beach themselves. You can't roll them back into the water. You want to worry about... I'm going to tell you about this whale thing. They got these whales beach themselves, okay? The reason why they do it is because, I don't know, there's something wrong with the water, all right? Don't go blaming the freaking U.S. military. Good God Almighty. They've been beaching themselves since Aristotle's time. They've been beaching themselves since the first caveman saw one beached. Whales beach themselves. Aristotle. Janice just looked it up for me. He remembers seeing beached whales. Aristotle, how long ago was that? Was that the 50s? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, get a backstage pass, baby. You can get all the classic audio from our show on our website. And for $6.95 a month, you get it all, and I don't care what you do with it. You can download it. You can upload it. You can put it up there, put it down there. Anywhere you want to stick it is fine with us. It's the Phil Henry Show's audio from our website. And believe you me when I tell you, yes, believe you me, this stuff is, I mean, it's worth it, baby. We got people sticking it on their listening posts. We got it all over the page, you know, like Morpheus, all that stuff. Forget it. The quality on that blows. The quality on ours, top-notch. And for $6.95 a month, you can download that stuff. Not just listen to it, download it. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, for more information. It's only $6.95 a month. Also, you can check out our souvenir shop, the new Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, North Pole. And you know what? I'm going to get Ted on one of these days to talk to us about the new Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse at the North Pole, because it is an engineering feat, an unbelievable engineering feat, to build a steakhouse at the North Pole and to do it in such a way, I think, that makes it comfortable for people, makes it a place that you like to go to eat dinner. In fact, would you get Ted on the line? I want to talk about the Ted's of Beverly Hills at the North Pole, his new steakhouse, and the new Ted's of Beverly Hills North Pole Polar Fleece Pullover. So we're going to be talking to him in just a moment about that. But getting back to the whales beaching themselves, hey, listen, man, before you start worrying about that, why don't you get them all out of SeaWorld, huh? What are you cats worried about whales beaching themselves for? They're in SeaWorld. They're down at that SeaWorld place and that Miami Seaquarium and all the other places they keep those animals in captivity. Get them out of there. I like this stuff, whales beaching themselves. Do you feel bad for the whales? Yeah. When's the last time you took your kid to SeaWorld to watch Shamu being tortured? Yeah, that's right. I said tortured. Poor Shamu being tortured. You take your kids down there and watch Shamu running around that tank? Those animals, those poor, beautiful, brave animals being forced to run around with a beach ball on their noggin. How'd you like that if somebody did that to you? I know, it's not a fair comparison. You're a human. You're an intelligent being. But still, I wouldn't like it. Stay in a tank, then I got to swim around a tank all day long, and in my shape? Just imagine if you were a whale. Let's just put me there for an instant. First of all, I'm sitting in water all day long in a bathing suit, and I've got a big, white, fat gut. And then they open up these gates, and I'm supposed to swim out there. Now, I can't swim as fast as a whale, so it takes me probably about, I mean, three times as long. Then some guy throws a ball, and I got to swim around this enormous tank that's six times the size of a normal swimming pool, and I got to bounce the ball around. Then I have to eat some crap fish the guy throws me. Then I go back to the tank, and I have to crap and pee there and everything. I think I'd be very waterlogged. You want to go down and watch the whales? Tell you what. You see that jawline on whales? Everybody says, look, the whales are smiling. No, they're not smiling. That's how their face is. I always love that about cats like it. Why? Because they're smiling. That ain't them smiling. That's the way the mouth is shaped. Whales, too. Look at them. They have a natural smile because they just love it. And dolphins, too. Look, I'm not an environmental guy, necessarily. I just know what's right and I know what's wrong. It's wrong for us to take these beautiful animals, stick them in some cage, and watch them do their thing so that we can stand there looking stupid throwing peanuts at them. It's wrong. It's got to be immoral. I'm not ready to start passing judgment on people's everlasting souls, because frankly, I don't give a crap. But it can't be right to watch a beautiful animal like that stuck in a freaking tank like that. So SeaWorld, you can kiss my bright Irish rose. What do you think of them apples? SeaWorld. And you cats try to come off like you're all environmental. Why don't you guys quit being so indignant? Why don't you just get out of the freaking business, okay? Do you think anybody's fooled by what you do anymore? And they're the guys, man, they come after you. I remember when I was in Miami, the Seaquarium came after me. Because they had a whale down there that they were torturing, Lolita. And they came after me for something. I said, how dare you come after me? You let that animal go. Or at least put it in something a little bit more humane than a holding tank where it bounces up and down for about 20 of the 24 hours a day. Then it goes running around inside of a pen for the enjoyment of the idiots that come and watch that. Haven't we got anything better to do? Boy, human beings, you talk about no life. You talk about bored beyond tears. We got to sit and watch animals amuse us because we're so bad at entertaining ourselves. We got television, we got everything, but we got to watch an animal entertain us because I guess there's nothing on TV, huh? Boy, if anything's a statement about how boring television is today, that's it. You guys at CBS, Fox, all the other ones, people would rather go down and watch a whale bounce a ball off its nose than half the crap you're sticking on the tube. What do you think of that? Good God. If I was that Lloyd Braun, I saw that guy interviewed, that ABC guy. He was interviewed about Jimmy Kimmel's show, right? Now, they give Jimmy Kimmel a show late night, and then they proceed to tell him he can't do anything on his show. So, in other words, here's a show for a guy who's a pretty funny cat. Now, don't do anything. Oh, okay, thank you, Mr. Braun. Then the guy says it's a little edgy for some of the demographics. Hey, Braun, no offense, your network sucks. Maybe you ain't doing the job. Maybe you want to quit. I got a great job for you, bouncing a ball off your nose. At what point do you start taking responsibility for how bad the TV programming on your network blows on ice, man? Maybe it's you, dude. You. At least Joey Zucker is taking responsibility for how bad the shows suck on NBC. Why don't you take a page out of his book, as in Leave Town? But getting back to Shamu, if you want my nomination for the new guy to head up NBC, Shamu. Because he's entertaining more people, or is it a she? Who knows? Is that a male name, a female name? Are they genderless? Are whales just poor, captive, tortured, large beasts? No wonder they swim like crazy people when they're down in that water. When they finally let them out, they don't let them out to swim anywhere. All right, I got to get Ted Bell on the line here. A fantastic feat Ted Bell has built. Ted's of Beverly Hills on the North Pole. Ted, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing really great, but I wanted to...
No, I just don't be shy to tell us about the Ted's of Beverly Hills on the North Pole.
Well, Bill, there isn't a Ted's on the North Pole. That is impossible to do.
Well, no, you built one there at...
I said there isn't one up there. It's impossible to do. But are you stupid?
No, I'm not stupid. The copy here says, hey, Ted.
Well, I don't know who wrote the copy, Bill, but it's impossible to build a restaurant. And if I build a restaurant in the North Pole, who'd go there? The elves? No, there's no restaurant. It's a way of selling a beautiful North Polar Fleece pullover on your website. I don't have a restaurant. I do have the restaurant in Honolulu, and I do have the restaurant in Beverly Hills, as well as Walnut Creek and Georgetown, but not one in the North Pole. What an idiot. Jesus. You think I have one of the North Pole?
No, I don't. It said so in the copy.
Well, you believe everything you read?
No, I didn't believe it. I was going along with the sketch. I was supposed to say you got a restaurant on the North Pole.
Well, I don't. What a dumbass.
Well, okay, well, thanks a lot, man. See if I show up at your Beverly Hills restaurant.
Look, Phil, just sell the swag and don't ask questions. Jesus H.
Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.